Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth drama.
Welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N Word, and I am joined by my fantabulous and extroverted, supercalifragilistic, expialidocious co-host, Mr. J.
What's good, people? What's good? What's good? What's good?
Yeah, give us a call, 347-826-7435. Once again, that call-in number, 347-826-7435. But most importantly, send in your shots, your pictures to Mr. J, because y'all don't feel it like I do.
That's right.
He's craving it. The hunger from his stomach, his belly, his inner soul is growling.
Let me explain it to him like this. Y'all do not understand. This is going to be a bigger movement than y'all have ever witnessed. But see, y'all playing. All we asking you to do, or shall I say me, all I'm asking you to do is just take a picture and submit it. That's all. You know, how hard could that be? That's all. Take a picture and submit it. Yes, there is a calendar in the wings. We are trying to put together the calendar, but we need pictures. We need faces. Now, carry on.
Yeah. Smooth Drama at smoothdrama.com. Once again, hit us up with your pictures, questions, comments, and concerns. Smooth Drama at smoothdrama.com. Now, y'all heard it, right? It's a fraction of the growlage. See, I'm making up words now. Of the growlage.
Damn, the growlage. We got to go to Urban Dictionary for that one. Right. Growlage.
You know what? We Smooth Drama Dictionary. The growlage that is coming from Mr. J here.
Hungry. Y'all don't understand. Y'all don't understand. Because I know there's a lot of pretty faces out there. You know, I know y'all want to be represented. Y'all want us to know who's listening. And we want to know who's listening. We want to see who's actually listening, not the people that we, you know, necessarily that we added to the group or that are in the group. We know there's more of you out there. But how will we know if we don't see the faces? Send the pictures.
You sound like a conspiracy theorist.
I'm just saying. And fellas, you know, don't feel like we're leaving y'all out. We got something planned for you too. But right now, I'm being real honest. Ladies, do Mr. J a favor and just send pictures. And I'm not asking for, like, you know, X-rated pictures, nothing like that. No, no, no. But however, those of you who feel, you know, that's the picture you want to send, then send it. You know, but I'm just saying, send pictures so we can put this calendar together. That's all.
Now, hold on now. Now, last week, You was turning down the fellas. You were saying you're not leaving the fellas out. You're turning down the fellas sending you pictures.
Okay, because that was a whole different conversation. See, I figured you were going to bring it up again. Okay, before we go into our first topic, let me just make it very clear to you. You can either inbox Mr. J.S. myself, or you can inbox my brother Smooth, or you could submit the pictures directly to Facebook on the Smooth Drama Show page, or you can hit Smooth up on Twitter. There's so many ways, or you can go to the website, you know, smoothdrama.com. There's so many ways to do it. We make it so easy for you, okay? But fellas, do not inbox me asking me to post your pictures. That's just not going to happen. There's no reason why a grown-ass man should be inboxing another grown man some pictures. Okay? And I'm going to leave it at that. See, Smooth is over there just, you know, literally biting his tongue off because he wants to say something.
I'm trying not. All right.
Well, you know what? Change the subject. Before we go any further, I promised I was going to get this out. If my sister's still up listening, Ashley Johnson down in Charlotte, North Carolina, I love you. You're my only sister. You're my blood. I just want to wish you the biggest happy birthday, happy 3-0 to you. You know, you're everything in my world right now. Love you dearly. Happy birthday, sis. And enjoy the DR. You're leaving Sunday. Have a safe trip. You know, wish I can go with you. Damn, I wish I can go with you. But anyway, happy birthday, sis.
That was really, really tender, man.
Tender love.
Anyway.
Anyway. And while we give a shout out, I got to give a shout out to a longtime listener, Misha, who unfortunately lost her grandfather today on his birthday. So shout out to Misha. Our condolences to you and your
family. Rest in heaven, sir. You know, wherever you are, rest in heaven.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate. You know, I hope his life was a long and, you know, very interesting one. You know, he left us far too soon. I don't even know the man, but I'm sorry for your loss. And, you know, rest in heaven, sir.
Yeah. And, of course, today is also our shining prince's birthborn day, the late Malcolm X.
El Haj Shabazz.
So, and yes, we're going to pay tribute to him throughout the show. I will get into that later.
Sounds like it's going to be controversial. Oh, boy. Can't wait.
You know, I've got some words. I got some words. And it's in defense of Malcolm, but we're gonna table that for now, because if I get on this,
I'm gonna have to go get my black tan and my black, you know, my black glasses, you know, and stand with my black fist necklace on, you know. But go ahead.
Well, why are you playing?
That's a reference to the Black Panthers, but you know.
Yeah, I'm sitting here in all black. So I ain't playing today. I woke up with that very thought.
I got no justice, no peace, okay.
I got my black shoes on, my black socks, I got my black shorts, and I got my black shirt. I'm not playing. You know, if I wouldn't have brushed or something, I might have had that black stuff in my teeth, but I wasn't going to go there.
Once again, you are in the studio halfway dressed. I'm going to... Okay, that's disturbing, but okay.
You're talking about halfway dressed.
So you said your black shoes, your black socks, your black shirt, and your black shorts. I heard nothing in there about a pair of pants.
Shorts, man. Really?
Are you talking like in basketball shorts?
Black shorts, man. Just shorts. Shorts.
Okay.
Kind of sold into you.
Good. Man, you have to be more clear about these things, because knowing you, it could be anything.
You know what?
Mr. Free at last, thank God Almighty, we're free at last. And I'll let your mind wander with that one.
I'm not even wandering. See, I was there and you went here.
What you got for us tonight, man?
Well, speaking of going there and being here, I don't know if you heard about Jeremy Shockey, former New York Giant tight end, and Warren Sapp, he of Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and recently deposed from NFL Network. They have like a little war going. Warren Sapp, dry snit. Supposedly said that the Saints snitch on as far as the gate where we got suspended, the coach got suspended the game because of the bounty gate, whatnot. Warren Sapp said it was Jeremy Shockey, who of course They went back and forth. So what did Jeremy Shockey do? You know, they've had this war going on forever. So Jeremy Shockey shares Warren Sapp's bankruptcy papers all over social media.
Well, I mean, they are kind of. I mean, it's not hard to get that information. I mean, it's no big secret that Warren, you know, he did file for bankruptcy, but to get the papers, I mean, they are public records. So, I mean, but it's wrong of him to go do that. But you know,
yeah, he says, and I'll quote him. He claims that some legal documents pertaining to Warren Sapp's bankruptcy were sent to my address. And so he shared the photo on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and he kind of mocked him. And then he deleted most of the posts. But,
yeah, but you know, this is where we are with, I mean, this is one of the reasons why I don't, you know, I mean, other than Facebook, I don't get on, you know, I don't do all those other outlets because these are two grown-ass men. I don't know what prompted Warren to go at, you know, Shockley, you know, over, you know, with these allegations. Don't really care. It makes for good talk, but don't really care. But for Shockley to come back with, you know, trying to embarrass Sapp more than, you know, some of the things that have already been put out there about him, all that's going to do is lead up to a situation where more than likely they're going to be at some time in the near future. They're going to be in the same, you know, space. Like maybe it might be the All-Star game, you know, the NFL All-Star game, or it might be, I mean, you know, the Pro Bowl, or it might be the Super Bowl.
I don't know, because he's kind of personal non grata ever since he got fired for being not too nice of a guy.
Well, I'm just saying that I wouldn't be too surprised if somewhere down the road they end up face-to-face.
You think they're going to be throwing hands on TMZ?
You know, I wouldn't be too surprised. Now, I'm not even going to say, because, you know, Warren's a big dude, but, you know, Shockley, I think Shockley has him, like, height-wise, but, you know, that's just two grown men going at it.
Well, but you're going to be talking about two old fat.
Well, no. Back it up a little bit. Shockey is a little younger than Sapp. And he's in another, last time I saw him, he was in a little bit better shape than Warren. Warren ain't been football shape for a couple of years now.
Right.
He's been removed from football a long time. And Shockey, Shockey hasn't been removed as long as Warren has. Trust me on that. But, I mean, we're digressing the point. My point is it should have never gone this far, and it's going to go further. What's next?
It's been going on for a while. I guess justice is happening in America. I know you remember, most people remember the Batman shootings in 2012 when the dude walked up in the theater and just started shooting.
Crazy looking white boy, yeah.
Yeah. Well, there were people, the jury just decided that the victims who argued that lack security allowed for the attack. I mean, it's like there's no security at a movie theater, but the six jurors concluded that Cinemark was not liable for that dude's rampage. I'm like, that shit is common sense. I mean, it's like, come on. I mean, it's no disrespect intended, but we know the majority of the employees who work at movie theaters are slow by design because they're giving, you know, mentally disabled folks a chance to work in the workplace, and that a lot of them are young people and the mentally disabled. And I don't know anybody who goes to work except for cops and people who are in the jobs that require firearms, policing folks that go to work thinking, oh, somebody's going to come to work today and shoot up everything. I know I don't do it, and I don't think there's too many folks who think like that. So the folks who were like, well, Cinemark had lax security. I'm like, there's no movie theater in America that's got like armed gunmen, policemen.
Well, you got to look at it this way.
Right way.
They can go, the family could have went, I mean, I'm sure they're going after the gunman, you know, but they know that that man has no assets worth taking, you know. So they have to go after somebody. So who's next, you know, who's next on the list? The movie theater or the company that owns the movie theater. They're going to try to get money from them. So the jury comes back with the decision that you can't hold the movie theater liable for something like this. So, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, I'm sorry, though. I just don't see it. I don't see it.
Well, no, I don't see it either, but hey, you know, they're going to go after whoever they feel as though can get them some sort of justice. I mean, for those families that, like, either lost loved ones or had loved ones that were injured, yeah, you know, they deserve some type of compensation, but you can't blame, like, unless it was like, I mean, I don't know what the legal ramifications are, but I would have been more surprised if the jury would have found the company liable.
I mean, but that's my point. I'm like, you know, a dude decides I'm going to shoot up everybody who came to see Batman. You can't predict for that.
No, you can't. No, but what I think what they're saying is, like, not just like in this situation, but any situation, they're just blaming the movie theater overall for not having a better security set up within the theater because of not just that shooting, but other shootings or the overall possibility of something like that happen, which already occurred.
All right, I have a suggestion. Can I give my suggestion?
Go ahead.
To all the people who go to movie theaters in the suburbs, go to the movies in the hood. The only bad thing that'll happen is if you're sitting by some black folks, every now and again they'll laugh really loud and talk.
They won't talk at the screen, yeah.
Yeah, that's the worst that will happen. No
probably,
one.
Yeah, you probably got a point there. Yeah.
Theater. I mean, I'm just saying we're talking about just precedent here. That kind of stuff don't go down. You have to actually be at a church Bible study to get shot in the black community. I believe
that's a whole another story. But yeah, that's unfortunate.
We don't go on break here and. Of course, since it's Malcolm X's birthday, we gonna go a little hard here. This is a Immortal Technique, revolutionary.
Yo, load the fuck up. Locked and loaded, you too. Locked and loaded, sir. Remember, break that window when that cop comes and blow that motherfucker's head off.
Got it.
Yeah, load up again. These motherfuckers are gonna come back for us.
Be ready.
We gotta be prepared in this day and age. We gotta be prepared for whatever the fuck comes at us. Cause we're living revolutionarily.
Definitely.
You cannot second guess yourself in these days and times. They're gonna throw whatever they can at you. And you gotta be prepared for it. You gotta be prepared for anything.
It's liberty or death. It's freedom for everybody or freedom for nobody.
No matter what the fuck life throws at me, I continue to make it through indefinitely. Immortal technique to beat the odds repetitively until there ain't shit ahead of me competitively. Surviving the tough times is imperative to me. Looking at the whole world revolutionarily.
They don't want to hear you old Uncle Tom hanging his head talking about
technique will force you into strategical retreat because I dominate guerrilla warfare in the streets. There ain't no way to picture me without a victory speech. When I reach higher positions, without the recognition of piss-on competition, cause I conquer their rendition in a systematic form like a religious tradition. My mission is to take you, lyrically break you, lyrically assassinate you, lyrically incinerate your body and recreate you, to destroy the power that mentally incarcerates you. Cause even though I rip it better, I could not forsake you. You're my people with the same oppressor, so how could I hate you? The
from original people impersonate you start to hate you because the conflict is building within. The ultimate sin is to be ashamed of your skin. My rhymes are like Jamaican overproof. I make the room spin. Intoxicated flow. I bleed vodka and brandy. Don't make me choke you down like JonBenet Ramsey. Something demands of me to rip this fucking shit uncandily. God commanded me to be a technological disease. And psychologically to battle with the best MCs. Uppercase T and technique. Cause I'm the capital of a revolutionary nation that's infallible. Aztec like the Hannibal. Rip your heart out of your chest and feed it to the cannibals. You're just a fucking animal, but I'm the Neo-Sapien. Cause my original civilization was based upon creation. You know there's no escaping, even though your heart is racing. I'll put your best disciple on academic probation. Fuck the litigation, fuck the best rapper nomination. And fuck the president, I voted for assassination. I'm saying, fuck the federal bullshit investigation. Fuck the cover-up, I'm getting radiation extermination. Using my people for experimentation. And if it doesn't play hip-hop, then fuck your radio station. No matter what the fuck life throws at me, I continue to make it through indefinitely. Immortal technique defeats the odds repetitively. Until there ain't shit ahead of me competitively. Surviving in tough times is imperative to me. Looking at the whole world, revolutionarily.
Revolutions overturn, system. Revolutions destroy,
system. Yo, what the fuck happens to reality? Spitting rhyme sayers these days. Everybody's trying to be a thunder or player. Where did all the real motherfuckers go in the game? Bring back the breakdancers and graffiti writers with fame. I remember hip-hop before the mic gun clappers. Cause I used to drink 40 with more flavor than these rappers. Lyrical ego trips doesn't make fortification. You're not dope enough. Rich self-glorification. So don't jerk me around, cause my name ain't masturbation. Life is hard and easy, cause I've been through shit. If you consider rap a job, I suggest that you quit. Don't you understand, the audience will listen and dance. In the club, crib, or car, or wherever they get the chance to be emancipated. Start debating justice in the cypher. Why do you think project rooms look like the cells in Vikings? I'm explaining the significance or the reasons behind it. They're preparing your children for the prison environment. When you don't amount to shit, prison becomes retirement. But I refuse to be cooking the central booking and chains. Cause sleeping on the floor of caves is starts to fuck with your brain. The system ain't reformatory. Only purgatory, close to hell but I rebel. As I begin to sparking out and tell my people how we fell into the trap that we live in. Because they locked us up in ghettos and began to rape our women. So I leave the system unforgiving like Eastwood. Cause I was blessed with lyrical strength to do whatever I could. You should have seen it coming long ago when you were very young. My word is through the Father, Holy Spirit, and his fucking son. Cause when I grab the mic device in front of Christ and start to rip it, I'll make Jesus turn around and say, yo, pop, you think I'm flipping. So talk about whatever and be what you want. But don't mistake the way I break the tape to triple blasphemy. Through the highest frequency in the NYC, I'm crushing 97.1% of MCs. No matter what the fuck life throws at me, I continue to make it through indefinitely. Immortal technique defeats the odds repetitively. Until there ain't shit ahead of me competitively. Surviving in tough times is imperative to me. Looking at the whole world revolutionarily.
Together you got Smooth Drama.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama. That was Immortal Technique. Revolutionary. That's how we living. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435.
Yep.
Yep. So, now, you know what time it is, right?
I know what time it is. Do you know what time it is?
I know what time it is. You know, for those of you who don't know, or if you do, you know, it's my dumbass of the week time here. See, that last one, that's the most important one. Get that last one in.
Wow, okay.
You don't like the last one? I think it's kind of dope.
Interesting, okay.
I know. Anyway, my dumbass of the week is the Trekkies. These dudes, you know, I get you love Star Trek. It's a cool show. you know, space, the final frontier, boldly going where no man has gone before. But
I've said that a few times. But anyway, go ahead, as you were saying.
These dudes.
I've been asked to go, to places where no man has gone before, and I've had to say no thank you to that. But go ahead.
Yeah, we're going to pass on that. Anyway, these dudes, they took and put a brief out suing, and this is filed by the Language Creation Society. They're suing saying that Klingon should be accepted as a real language. So even though it was invented for use in the Star Trek franchise, supposedly it took on new life of its own through its dedicated fans. And now, because they've sold over 250,000 copies of a Klingon dictionary, they are now offering Klingon language certification programs. And Microsoft Bing has even started an English to Klingon translation.
There you have it right there, because Microsoft, took it upon themselves to assist, those who do not understand Klingon language. They created a, translation guide or whatever they've done, software that just, it doesn't legitimize it, but it's a step, in their mind, it's a step forward. It's a step towards legitimizing something that others are just going to think is a bunch of bullshit, me being one of them. I like the Star Trek franchise too, but I'm not going to be signing no petitions that, for a new language. Shit, I can't even master English yet.
You wouldn't. I hope you would.
But, and I hate to say it, you just have some special people out there that take some of these shows and they try to bring them to life.
Too seriously.
Yes.
I mean,
this is beyond, no disrespect to the people that go to Capcom and all that, and even to those people who dig into cosplay. This is way too far.
Hold on, man. See, I was with you till you start attacking.
See, there you go. See, this is just payback for last week with the West Coast rap and the light skin, dark skin thing. I wasn't attacking Capcom or people who are into cosplay. What I'm saying is that there's a segment of people, there's a certain demographic of people who have just taken it way beyond anything that anybody can imagine. They are really, really trying to live their lives as if, Star Trek, or shows like it were real.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the point I was trying to make. They're just taking it too far now.
That's why they're my dumbass of the week. I'm not understanding it. It's like it's an imaginary language, and if you took the time to master some shit that don't really exist, and that's been your life, your whole claim to fame is I'm fluent in Klingon.
I'm punching that person in the throat.
Real hard. While you punching them in the throat, I'm going to do that shot in the ankle that I always talk about. So we just going to give them that double shot.
They're going to get disabled somehow because it's like I'm putting you out your misery whether you like it or not. You wake up in tracks.
Right. We're putting them in misery.
Yeah. And you will wake up in traction, and then you will have time to think about your life.
We have to make sure we're not advocating violence against Trekkies who are for Klingon. We're just saying that if you step to us and you're trying to speak Klingon to us, you may or may not get hit in the throat and shot in the ankle.
I put no disclaimer on anything. I'm not putting a disclaimer. I'm just saying what I'm saying. And if you understand what I'm saying, because this is what I'm saying, then you'll know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying?
I got you.
All right.
Cosine. Now, we got our hater of the week. You know, the Philadelphia man who threw a cup of gasoline on his girlfriend while she was smoking.
Wait, I missed that. Say that again?
Kevin Small, 46, of Philadelphia, was arraigned on homicide and arson in the death of Melissa Bacon Smith. She was smoking. He threw a cup of gasoline on her while she was smoking, which, of course, caused the fire and subsequently kills her because they had a little argument.
I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to say this was a brother. Yeah, he killed this girl. I'm just going to say it was a brother.
Yeah, you
and
know.
I'm really going to go out on a limb and
say
that more than likely somebody was high during the commission of this crime.
You know, I'm going to guess that there's some drugs and alcohol that was involved in this because most normal folks stay away from cups of gasoline. I mean, I don't know if I've ever been predisposed to walk around with a cup of gasoline.
I don't think I've ever even hated anybody that much that I would want to throw a cup of gasoline on them. You know? And,
yeah.
You know, I've been in some, well, not crazy situations, but just some interesting ones. But, no, I've never thought about throwing a cup of, you know, alcohol or gasoline anywhere near something that was flammable. But I guess, what's his name, Kevin?
Yeah, good old Kevin.
Kevin, I guess Kev just said, you know what, fuck it. You know, I can't stand this hoe anymore. And people are like, why she got to be a hoe? Okay, well, I can't stand this woman anymore. I'm mad at her for something she did 3 weeks ago.
Hold up. Let once again, just because I like to clarify, he called her a hoe because obviously Kevin was thinking of her as hoe in a negative light, not in hoe as in that hoe be having sex. No, but more like that hoe that I hate. Does that work?
Pretty much, yeah. 347-826-7435. That's 347-826-7435. Call in. Let's hear your points of view or your comments on this.
Yeah, because I mean, there's hate and then there's that, what he did, as one of our flash chatters said, cray cray.
I really don't advocate, you know, anybody taking anybody's life. That's not who I am, but you just got to wonder when you hear stories about this, doesn't matter if it happened in the black community, white community, whatever. When you just hear stories about like stuff like this, the first thing in my mind, I automatically just start wondering, like, what were the circumstances surrounding this? What was their lifestyle like? You know, what took him to this point where he felt as though, you know what, I got a cup, I got some gasoline in the cup, I'm going to throw it on. And more importantly,
you
what
gotta
are you
go
doing walking around with a cup of gasoline?
You got to go get a cup of gasoline. See,
exactly.
You have to be crazy enough to go to the pump with a cup and pump gasoline in the cup. See, that is the, I'm going to use a big word here, dichotomy of hate. See, you got to have a special hate like that What's Love Got to Do With It, Lawrence Fishburne. It's got to come, put some stink on it, hate from up here.
Oh, wait a minute. Just to interrupt for a moment, checking some of the messages, and our friend Fluffy in Philly has given us some inside late-breaking news on this. She's saying that they were in a hotel. He went across the street to the Wawa and got the gasoline. Okay. So now we know he went across the street to get. But what made you go across the street to get a cup of gasoline, come back, and throw it on your girl?
Well,
Fluffy, out there, give us a call. I know you're listening, Fluff. Call us, please. 347-826-7435.
Well, as a matter of fact, we have a couple callers. So, caller, you're on the air. Welcome to Smooth Drama.
Hey.
Hello.
Who's calling in? Who is this?
Wait, I have to turn y'all off now.
I know that voice. I know that voice.
Wait a minute. You know this voice?
This is my buddy Fluffy.
Yeah, that's true.
Talk to us. Give us your point of view on this.
All right. I didn't get the details. I was half watching when this story came across the news. And he was saying they were at like a little sleazy highway motel. So he's from Philly, and you're in a motel. So you can imagine if you live in Philly, why would you be in a motel on the outskirts of Philly? So they must, you know, was engaged in something, you know, probably getting high or something. And then walked across the highway.
We suspected that there was some drugs. We suspected there was some drugs involved.
Yeah, because the place I ride past, the hotel they were in all the time, is at the top of Route 1, you know, heading northbound from Philly towards Jersey.
Oh, wait a minute. So this is right before you cross over into Jersey, right?
Okay.
It's not just before, but when you're kind of leaving the outskirts of Philly.
We thank y'all.
Saying, I think I know where you're talking about, but go ahead. Go on with the story.
And so right across the street is a huge Wawa, real popular. And he was seen at the Wawa, you know, minutes before he went back across the street with the gasoline and paused on his girlfriend. So, and just fortunately, the fire was contained to the one room and it wasn't a lot of damage and no one else was hurt except for the victim. Of course, the girlfriend didn't survive. But, you know, they showed him. He was a black guy. He looked a little deranged. He looked like he probably, you know, may have been doing some little recreational smoking or whatever.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So,
deranged. Yeah, we kind of got that.
Deranged.
Yeah.
Right. So, and of course, so he was, you know, taken into custody right away. He had bandaged hands up, I guess, from where he suffered some minor burns for himself. And basically, he admitted to doing it, too.
He was on drugs, yeah. He was on drugs. Yep.
Yeah. And like I said, if you live in Philly, why would you be there? You'd be at home if, you know, you had to be up to something no good, or else you'd just be in your own home. So
is it safe, though? And I know you don't use the word.
Changed. Right?
What?
I mean, it's. Start by saying that he was deranged. So why would he be there? He's deranged. I think that's just enough of a justification.
Probably they were probably there to do drugs. You know,
yeah.
I mean, literally, this place was. I mean, where is that? You walk 2 minutes, and you're in Philly. So if you live in Philly, why would you be chilling out in the motel? You know. So,
all right. Okay. Well, Fluffy, thank you for calling. Go Sixers. Hopefully, y'all win more than 30 games next year. Thank you for calling.
Or else get another great draft pick for the following season.
Yeah.
Fluffy, you should pour your T-shirt sometime in the next few days. We got one for you. Now, the rule is once you get it, you got to put it on, take a picture, and post it.
All right. Well, thank you, Fluffy, for calling. Moving on. Caller number two, you're live on the air. Welcome to Smooth Drama. What you want to add to the conversation?
I just had one question, and it is actually a serious question about this topic. Can you just buy a cup of gas? And I do mean that seriously. I mean, what are you walking in with, $1.50 or whatever to buy a cup of gas?
I see what she's saying. Like, how do you go across the street and get a cup?
But thank you for the call, first and foremost. And thank you for
listening. I am serious, though. I mean, the violence of it is one thing, but the stupidity of it is second. And really, can you just walk across to a pump and buy a cup of gas?
Well, I had a question before we even respond to that.
Hold on. Let me. Okay, well, go ahead.
No, say, who are we speaking to? Who's calling?
This is Grace.
Oh, okay. Hey, Grace.
How
are
you?
Back again, ladies and gentlemen. I'm good.
God.
How are you?
All right. Well, one, thank you, Grace, for the call, and thank you for the listen. And we'll let you go, and we'll answer this real quick because we get pressed for time on the break. Yeah, you technically can't, but because he's, I believe the words would be crazy and deranged, as Fluffy used them, you probably would say, hey, I need some gas for my gas can. Put your cup in and do your thing. Because that's what crazy and deranged people do. Right?
Yeah, you got to give him credit, though. He fessed up to it, you know. I mean, I guess he already knew. It was like, hell, ain't no way I can deny it. Might as well just admit to it. You know, I'm going to do time one way or the other, so.
Well, you had witnesses who said they saw him, and plus there's the cameras.
Yeah.
So, and the fire in the room that you're staying in, probably.
That would be a big piece of evidence right there. We have a dead body in the room that you rented, and you came back to the scene of the crime. Yeah, okay. Well, Kevin, this is a special place in hell for you, and you will soon visit that place. You know, I hope it was worth it. You know, honest, I'm being sarcastic about that, but was it really worth all that? I mean, because she smoked up the last rock. You know, come on now, for real?
Yeah. Well, all I know is we going to go on break here.
My condolences to the girl's family, you know, seriously, on a serious note. But, yeah, let's go to break.
Yeah. This is Malcolm X. Who taught you to hate yourself?
Who taught you, please? Who taught you to hate the texture of your hair? Who taught you to hate the color of your skin to such extent that you bleach to get like the white man? Who taught you to hate the shape of your nose and the shape of your lips? Who taught you to hate yourself from the top of your head to the soles of your feet? Who taught you to hate your own kind? Who taught you to hate the race that you belong to? So much so that you don't want to be around each other. No, before you come asking Mr. Muhammad, does he teach hate? You should ask who taught you to hate being what God gave you. To love the hair that God gave you. Here you way out in the middle of the ocean, can't swim, and you worried about someone that's in the bathtub and can't swim. We don't steal, we don't gamble, we don't lie, and we don't cheat. And that also deprives the government of revenue. Because you can't get into a whiskey bottle without getting past the government seal. You can't open a deck of cards without getting past the government seal. Here, the white man makes the whiskey and then puts you in jail for getting drunk. He sells you the cards and the dice and puts you in jail when he catches you using them. So he's against us because we fix it where he can't catch you anymore. We take the dice out of your hands and the cards out of your hands and the whiskey out of your head. The most disrespected person in America is the black woman. The most unprotected person in America is the black woman. The most neglected person in America is the black woman. And as Muslims, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us to respect our women and to protect our women. And the only time a Muslim really gets real violent is when someone goes to molest his woman. We will kill you for our woman. I'm making it plain, yes. We will kill you for our woman. We believe that if the white man will do whatever is necessary to see that his woman gets respect and protection, then you and I will never be recognized as men until we stand up like men and place the same penalty over the head of anyone who puts his filthy hands out to put in the direction of our women.
Together you got to move, drummer, smooth drummer.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama. That was, of course, the late, great Malcolm X, El Hajj Malik Shepazz. 347-826-7435 is that call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. Now, of course, when Mr. J talked about, hey, we got to do it big for Malcolm X, like, you know, you think about it, and year after year, you know, you talk about it, you honor him, and I thought, you know, we don't honor Malcolm like we really should. And when I say we don't honor Malcolm, I'm like, when we talk about the Bible and we talk about history and prophets, you know, it's like saying that prophets and people that was for us, for the downtrodden, it's like it ended back in ancient days, and that history doesn't keep going. Like, Malcolm's not with us, and Malcolm was not a prophet. I mean, why don't we talk about Malcolm like we talk about biblical prophets? Like, I know I may catch some flack about it, but like, why we don't talk about him like we talk about Jesus? I know, folks, like, why you gonna say Jesus and Malcolm at the same time? But I mean, if we look at it, it's not that hard of a stretch. Both men.
How so?
Oh, I mean, both men, right? And we're talking about, there was Malcolm as a guy who was the worst of the worst, self-admittedly, was reborn as our freedom fighter, our prophet, a dude that was like, he gave his life defending our honor. And as he said here, like, white men would do whatever, as we know, many race riots and lynchings and all this for the honor of white women. And he's like, well, we as self-respecting men and people should be able to do the same thing for our women. But people don't look at him for what he was, really. For what he was. I mean, because I'm saying that when you look at him and the totality of who he was as a person, and how you say he starts off one way and then he ends up as a shining light, a beacon. Because Malcolm X, when I see his life, I look and he reinforces why I will never give up on my people.
Well, let me just jump in. I mean, because I'm totally, I mean, you notice I'm just being real quiet, because I'm like, you know, I can't debate or, you know, refuse anything that you said to this point that I don't agree with. You know what I'm saying? Everything, I'm like, yeah, I agree with you. But let me just add something to think about. You know, a lot of why we don't, and when I mean we, I'm talking about we as a people collectively, is because you still have a large segment of people out there. I mean, and I'm talking within the African-American or the black race, that still don't fully accept him for who he was, not because of the stuff that he did, but it comes down to, remember, he was a Muslim, but he wasn't born a Muslim. I mean, I forget what he was brought up as, but
well,
even
I mean,
if you remember, huh?
Well, his father was a UNIA Marcus Garvey preacher.
Right, right, right. And his mother, and on his mother's side, I mean, I think she was, you know, she was brought up. Yeah, she was, you know, she, but between the two of them, they formed him pretty much. His beliefs and, you know, his core of who he was came from his mother and his father. The point I'm trying to make is this. We look at him, you know, collectively for the things he did, you know, and, you know, the things that he did and all the negative things that most people, society, says about him. We don't look at the fact that he went all the way over to Mecca, made that transformation, came back, and instead of trying to divide, he tried to unite people.
Right.
Because when all this was going on, you got to remember over here in America, the Islamic faith was very, you know, it was still to people over here, it was something new, it was radical, it wasn't the norm, it was against everything else, so they weren't accepting it. Now, fast forward to now, he's no longer here. He's been gone over, you know, almost 40 years or so or more. You know, we still are in a situation where our thought process or how we view him, you know, we're still unable to get past the fact of, you know, the little that we know about him as opposed to what they teach us about him. You
well,
know what I'm saying?
I think that we know quite a bit about him, but see,
we do, but there's still a lot more of us out there that don't, and then there's more of us out there that's so misinformed about who he is. So when you talk about how come we don't talk about him in the same context as we do Jesus, we have to educate these people as to who he was, who he really was.
But see, I still wanted to categorically show why we should, I mean, not just when you listen to the clips, and once again, he died defending us, freedom fighters, speaking for those who were afraid to speak. He's out there dodging bullets. His family is attacked. He's attacked on the daily, and he's out there. I mean, I say we should look at him under the context of your prophets. Because, one, you could hear him. I mean, you could see him. He's in your image. He's representing you. He's talking about your name, your being comfortable being who you are, not who society wants you to be. And, you know, quite honestly, no disrespect to anyone's religion, but I always err on the side of anything except for what my oppressor gives me. If the oppressor say, hey, this is cool, I would go the opposite way. So, you know, when we talk about the prophets and whatnot, nobody's seen a prophet. There's no historical record that these guys existed. I'm not saying that they didn't. But there's no historical record that they existed except for hand-me-down stories. I mean, they have pictures of all these other cats historically who existed before these cats, right? But we revere people that we don't have a real historical record of. But a man that was for you, about you, died for you, and you know he died for you, we don't revere him like you revere some people that may or may not be fictional.
Well, I mean, I'm just going to jump in. I'm going to jump in, not to purposely cut you off, but just to say that if people who are listening just really think about what you just said, you know, whether you agree or not, just think about what Smooth has just said to you. He makes a lot of sense, you know, and if any time that I've ever asked, you know, since I've been on the show now and before, if any time I've ever asked you to give us feedback, this would be one of those conversations where I would say, yeah, you know, give us some feedback. I mean, we only got like 4 minutes left on the show tonight, but, you know, y'all, you know, for y'all that are listening and you're part of the group, hit up the page. For y'all that are listening that, you know, have his Twitter handle or, you know, have access to smoothdrama.com, the website, you know, hit us up. If you're on Facebook but you're not, you know, part of the group, hit me up. Well, it's actually Sire J, C-I-R-E, space J-A-Y, or Smooth. You know, hit us up in our inboxes. You know, because this is something we really need to talk about. And, you know, it'd be really interesting if any, you know, other people out there have an opposing view or, you know, or agree with us. But this is conversation that needs to be had.
Yeah,
this is conversation that really needs to be had.
Right. I mean, we're talking about our saint, not who people say that we should be loving. I'm talking about our saint that we have empirical data in audio visual proof that he was all about you and loving you and me, us. That's all he was.
And to start, I'll just say for some of y'all out there who, whether you have an issue or not, but maybe you're just, you know, not used to having this type of conversation, before you even hit us up, or if you choose to respond, I ask you just to do one thing. Pick up a dictionary and look up the definition for the word prophet. Start there. Pick up a dictionary and look up the word prophet and read what the definition is. Then refer back to this conversation that you just heard so that it'll all make more sense to you. And if you got to pull out your Bible or whatever else you got to pull out, pull that out too. We're not telling you to question the Bible. We're just talking about with this man who was living amongst us, where there's all types of proof. There's all type of archived proof of what this man did. You know, why are we not, you know, speaking about him in terms of, you know, prophet status?
Right. Well, our freedom fighter. I mean, because, you know, I say the same thing for Harriet Tubman. You know, just that same concept. Someone that you knew was all about you. Life on the line, daily. All about you. And so, like I said, our history doesn't stop in an ancient text. Our history is ongoing, and our prophets are ongoing. So context is what I'm saying, because we're living where our time is now, and Malcolm is with us, always will be with us.
We got to wrap it up, man, because we got less than 30. So on behalf of me and Smooth, I appreciate y'all tuning in, you know. Hit us up. You know how to reach out to us. Smooth, you got any last departing words?
Love yourself like Malcolm wanted you to.
I hear you. On that note, we out.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast, Smooth. She is the lady with her hair.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you guys,
Smooth.
Drama.